Welcome to the podcast of Maranatha Ministries. I'm Rick Frank, Senior Pastor of Maranatha, and I pray you'll be blessed by today's message. You can access all of our church information by going to our website at www.mmchurch.com or on all social media by searching at MM Church. And now be blessed by listening to today's message. Amen. All right. I'm going to turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. And you can turn there with me or read the scriptures up on the screen. Luke chapter 13. I am beginning with verse number 10. Bible says, now he, and this he here is capitalized, that's because they're speaking of Jesus. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. And she was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Isn't Jesus awesome? Amen. He's just awesome. All there is to it. I don't know how else to explain him. Awesome means he's full of awe. I'm awe-stricken when I think about the things that Jesus does. And here's one of them. Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Verse 13 says, he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now, you'd think everybody would be rejoicing at that point. You'd think people would be breaking out dancing in the spirit, huh? To have this woman of 18 years suddenly stand up straight. No, it's not the way people are. Verse 14 says, the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. How many people see the move of God and are indignified by it? They don't like it. Isn't that amazing? They answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. I don't mean to preach a message within the scriptures before I actually preach my message. But I've got to tell you that there have been people that walked into our Pentecostal church services and wondered how dare they act so sacrilegiously in the house of God by making this kind of noise and racket and speaking out loud and speaking in tongues and all this confusion and controversy. How dare they come into the presence of the Lord and act like that? Let me tell you what spirit you are of. How dare he heal a woman who has been suffering for 18 years on the Sabbath day? And he said to the crowd, he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day, the high priest, not Jesus. Come and get healed on those other days. You want to act like this? Go do it at the baseball game. Don't do it in church. You want to sing like this out loud and make all this noise? Go do it at the concert hall. Don't do that in church. Come to church and act right. It's the Sabbath day. You want this other stuff to happen? Do it on the other 6 days of the week. Don't do it in the house of God on the Sabbath day. It's good, isn't it? I haven't gotten to my sermon yet. Verse number 15. Then the Lord answered and said, hypocrite. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? That's work. So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it. Satan has bound her for 18 years. Shouldn't she be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? Or should we make her suffer a little longer because we shouldn't do this kind of stuff in church? Verse 17, and when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. I want to take these verses of scripture and preach to you a message that I've entitled today, Are You Bent Over and Can't Raise Yourself Up? Jesus, I praise you and I thank you for your goodness and your blessings, your mercy and your truth. I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. I'm asking for the anointing of the Lord on my lips, on my tongue, and on my mind to accurately and appropriately speak these words that you've laid upon my heart over this past week. Help me to do justice to the thoughts you've given me. I pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Everyone said amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's clap our hands one more time for Jesus, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus, as you know, performed many, many miracles. In fact, John in his gospel writes at the end of his book that Jesus did so many things, miraculous deeds, that the world itself would not be able to contain the books if every one of them had gotten recorded. So that's how many miracles Jesus did. And yet, in the midst of all of those miracles, this miracle right here is one of the very few miracles that actually took place in a synagogue. Isn't that interesting? Actually took place in a synagogue. And that's important because we usually think that people who have the problems are only out there in the world. And I'm here to tell you there are many people with problems in the church. I don't know about you, but I've been in church since I was 19 years old, and I still need Jesus to touch me. I haven't been in the world for many years, but I still need the touch of God in my life. People in church need God to touch them. Praise God. Not only is it one of the few miracles performed in a synagogue, it's also one of the few miracles Jesus performed on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath. He performed this one on the Sabbath. I might talk about that in the future, maybe next. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. But when I was thinking about these things and I put this down, that little something in me clicked that there's something there, and I'm going to do some prayer and study a little bit. And maybe I'll preach about miracles on the Sabbath next week. I don't know. We'll see where that goes. At any rate, for now, I just want to say that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath as well as he is the other 6 days of the week. Amen? He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He can do what he wants on the Sabbath because he's above the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not above him. We are not above him. This world is not above him. Let me just put it this way. Jesus can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, to whoever he wants. Can you say amen? But let's talk about this woman for a moment, because this woman has a severe and a pitiful, very pitiful physical problem, because number one, it's so noticeable. People that have hearing problems can now get hearing aids. You don't even know they're wearing a hearing aid. It's so deep into their ear. It used to be like you wear this big hanging thing on the back of your ear. Nowadays they got them. You can't even hardly tell a person's. They can mask a lot of things. But this woman couldn't mask her problem. And she's endured this problem for 18 long years. That's a long time to deal with something. That's a long time to get yourself to the place where you're getting discouraged with this. For 18 years, she suffered. She was utterly unable to straighten herself up. And I don't need to do a demonstration today, but let me do show you that her condition was such that this is the way she lived. Just like this. She walked around like this. If you tried to talk to her, she would possibly try to look up, but she would never see your face unless you got down to her level. Boy, there's another message. We need to get down to the level where lost people are so we can talk to them, because they're never going to come up to our level unless Jesus heals them. Yes. Praise God. And so she was bent over, stooped over, and she was like this now for 18 long years. Do you understand today that she had not seen a cloud in 18 years? She had not seen the stars of the night in 18 years. She had not looked up and seen the sun in 18 years. None of it. Her stooped over position, to me, illustrates the spiritual condition of the world around us. And it illustrates what sin has done to people. Because sin does not straighten somebody out. Sin bends them over. There is no sin offered in this world that will straighten out your life. Sin causes us to become bent over so that we can only see the things of this world and this life, and we no longer see the glory of heaven, and we no longer have anything to strive towards because sin has caused us to see this life and this life only. And if we live for this life, we are of all men most miserable, the apostle said. Go ahead, that's all right. Praise God. And so she only was able to see the ways of this world, and only seeing this life and the ways of this world is utter hopelessness. I can't imagine. Well, the Bible says we have 70 years. I think the lifespan right now is a little above that. Let's say 80 years. Let's say you live 80 to be 80. 80. 80, let's give you 90. I'll give you 90 years. I can't imagine only having 90 years and then everything is over. That's it. 90 years and it's over. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine how people who say there is no God can live with that understanding, that you have got 90 years and then everything is over. It boggles my mind, because if that's the case, how unfair is life really? Really? How unfair, unjust is this life if this life is all there is? Because, listen to me, there are people who this life gives them everything you could ask for in life. They've got money, they've got fame, they've got cars, they've got mansions, they've got boats, they've got family, they've got children, they've got grandchildren, they've got everything going. And then there are others who have nothing. They live on a street. And I know all about some people are there by their own choices, their own do, but some aren't, especially in some of these other countries. They have no choice. They live in the gutters. They live in the swamps. They live wherever. They eat food off the streets that the rich people drop off their pieces of their hamburger. How unfair is life if this life is all there really is? It's terrible. It's depressing. It's discouraging. If there is no heaven, what hope is there? And think about this. You're 20-something years old, and there's no heaven. And your hope, your only hope, is that by the time you're 60, you have had a good job, and you now have a good retirement fund, and you can enjoy the last 20 years playing golf. That's your hope? You get to spend the last 20 years of your life down in Florida going golfing every day? And then you die? I don't know. I'll ask you later what you just said, Vinny. I'm sure it was something funny. Vinny's a funny, one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet. I was in Florida for a vacation a few years back. My wife and I went to a restaurant one morning. That was about 11 o'clock, 11:30. It was brunch. It's about time I start moving around. Just figure I'll eat something. I'm going to try to get through this. All right. It was about 11 o'clock, and my wife and I were sitting there, and here comes a group of men. There's probably seven, maybe eight men sat down at a table across from us. And it was a smaller restaurant, so I could hear their conversation. And this was their conversation. First of all, they were talking about how they did golfing today. How they did. Then they brought up, what are we going to do tomorrow? And someone threw, I don't know, you want to play some tennis? Someone else said, we can try this other golf course. And as I listened to that, I became so heavy in my heart. Because I realized these men had worked their entire lives to reach the place where they could retire with a nice income and sit down in Florida and figure out if we're going to play golf tomorrow or tennis. And life has no more meaning to it than golf or tennis. And then you die. Somebody, bring me to Jesus so that I can see that there is more to my life than these 80 or 90 years on this planet. If there is no heaven, we are of all men most miserable. Can you say amen? Now the sinner, let's go back to this woman for a moment, because the sinner bent over from their sin and can only see this world, it is impossible for them to look up and see the face of God. And when you can look into the face of God, my friend, hope comes rushing in where there was hopelessness. Healing comes rushing in where there was sickness and disease. Comfort comes rushing in where there was distress. If you can see the face of God, everything will be good. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Psalm chapter 40, the psalmist wrote and he said this, innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to look up. And I want to ask you a question one more time, which was the title of my sermon. Are you bent over and you can't look up? My iniquities have overtaken me. This is Psalm 40, chapter 40, verse 12. If anybody wants to write it down so you can read it later. So that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, my iniquities. And for some of us these days, it doesn't take that many iniquities to reach that level of... Then I look at some of the others of you. Even Jamie. Look at Jamie's been through chemotherapy, and look how thick his hair still is. What is the deal? My good friend Vinny sitting back there, not only a full head, but it isn't gray yet either. He gets accused of dyeing his hair. It's black. It's like, what happened to me? My iniquities have overtaken me. They're more than the hairs of my head. But he said, therefore, my heart fails me. Why? Because I am overtaken by iniquities, and now my problem is, I can't look up. And I need to be able to look up to see the face of God, because outside of the face of God, I have no hope. Are you bent over and you can't look up? Her stooped condition, this woman's stooped condition, is so severe that she has not got the power within herself to do what she needs to do, and that's to look up. She can't do that. It's not within her to be able to do that. She cannot help herself. Some people can't help themselves. They need Jesus. Some people need you to bring them to the foot of the cross so that they can be healed and able to look up and see the face of God. Let me tell you something. If you think Black Lives Matter is going to make a difference in this world, think again. If you think this new president is going to make any difference in this world, think again. My friend, until you can lift your eyes off of this world and the ways of this world and get your eyes on Jesus, there is no hope for humanity. No hope. If you think any political movement is going to fix the problems that ail us, you are wrong. There is only one that can fix the problems with society, be it America, be it India, be it Egypt, be it Israel, doesn't matter where it is. There is only one that can fix the problem of humanity. His name is Jesus. And until you can lift your eyes and look at the cross, you have no hope. Praise God. No hope of ever getting straightened out. Now, the Bible says something very interesting about this woman. I'm going to try to wrap this up just a moment here. But it says that she had a spirit of infirmity. Some people would think that that means she was possessed. You're right. Shaking his head. No, you're right. Does not mean that. She had a spirit of infirmity. And she had it for 18 years, and she was bent over, and the Bible says that no way could she raise herself up. So what is exactly a spirit of infirmity? What is it? Infirmity has to do more with the mind and our emotions. That's what a spirit of infirmity is. Minds, the mind and emotions. And her stooped condition was the result, at least partially, I don't know how much, but at least partially, from a psychological instability that caused great depression in her life. So I don't know exactly how it played out or how it worked out. I don't know if she had something go wrong in her life and started hanging her head. And the more she dwelt on what was wrong and the more depressed she became, she looked further down. And after time, her back started to grow that way. And here, 18 years later, she is hunched over, and even though she wants to, she can't lift her head. You know how many people are psychologically unstable in our world around us? You know how many people are depressed? They fight depression. I would dare say most everybody on this planet is fighting depression to one degree or another. People aren't happy. People are not happy with their marriage. People are not happy with their jobs. People are not happy with their houses. People are not happy with their lives. People are not happy with their, did I already say spouse? I said that? People, basically. People are not happy with their lives. People are not happy with their spouses. Did I say that? I'm not trying to hint at anything. People are not happy with themselves. People are not happy with themselves. And oftentimes that gets projected onto somebody else. Satan has had his hand in this woman's disability, and I'll tell you how we know that in just a moment. Satan has had his hand in this to the extent that her mind is susceptible to his influence. And because her mind is susceptible to his influence, her body has been brought to the place where it is now malfunctioning, because being heavy laden and concerned and day by day getting worse and worse until now she can't lift her head up. All she can see is Satan's influence, and she cannot see the face of God. And when you cannot see the face of God, you have no hope. I think we'd be amazed today, and I'm not, I get in trouble every time I go into this area, but please bear with me, because I think we'd be amazed at how much or how many physical sicknesses and diseases and problems are the result of emotional sicknesses, diseases, and problems. I'm not saying they all are, and that's where I get in trouble. Everybody thinks, oh, because I'm sick or because I, you know, have a cancer or there's something wrong with my emotion. I'm not saying that. But and we can make normal things that, you know, the body lives in a sin-cursed world, and that's why we grow old and die. But sometimes what we have is worse because of how we think. It becomes worse because our attitude is so negative. In fact, Jesus said in verse 16, I read it earlier, he referred to this woman who Satan has bound. Now, she was not possessed by a devil. You know how I know she was not possessed by a devil? Because Jesus healed her and never cast out a devil. There was no deliverance from a devil here. But he did say that Satan had her bound. How did Satan have her bound? By getting her to focus on this sin-cursed world that is sin-cursed because of Satan's influence. And when we lose sight of what really matters and we start focusing on this world and the decrepancy of this world and the grossness of this world and the sin of this world and the condition of this world, it becomes heavier and heavier upon us until we can become so discouraged, we throw the towel in and decide, I'm not going to church anymore. Why? Why would you not come to church and magnify God whether you understand everything or not? She was oppressed by life in general and all that is wrong in life in general. And everything that's wrong in life in general can be traced back to the devil, not to God. If there is something wrong in your life, it does not originate with God. It originated with Satan. You listening to me? If there is something discouraging in your life that did not come from the throne room of heaven, it came from the pit of hell. If there is sickness in your life that did not flow from heaven's shores, it flowed from Satan's sin-cursed world of hell. He brought all of it into the world when he brought sin into the world. And so everything that strikes you as negative, do not blame God. And that's why when in healing her, he never cast out a devil. He just changes her thinking. Let me wrap this up. Bible says in Luke 13, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, this is the scripture I read earlier, and was bent over, could no way raise herself up. Now listen carefully to this. Let me read that one more time. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, on church day, and behold, there was a woman in the synagogue on the Sabbath when they were having church who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. For 18 years, this woman was suffering from depression and could not raise herself up from physical oppression. And could not lift up her face to see God. Probably couldn't even lift up her face to look at the preacher who was preaching that day. For 18 years, every Sabbath, she went to church. Some of us can't last 18 days if something doesn't get straightened out faster than this. You mind me just preaching today? 18 years. And some of us can't make it 18 months. Because something's not right. Listen to me. You have to do the right thing no matter what's happening around you, no matter what's happening to you, no matter what's happening inside of you, and no matter what's happening because of you, you have to do the right thing. And the right thing is to come to the house of God and worship Him. The right thing is to lift your hands every morning and bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. The right thing is to open up the Word and read it, whether it speaks to, speaking to you today or not. The right thing is to call upon heaven and to name the name of Jesus every day, whether your heart feels like it or not. You need to do the right thing, and it doesn't matter how long the wrong thing has been happening to you. And let me wrap this up and close by saying this. Jesus came to that synagogue on that day. And if she wasn't there, for whatever reason, she would have gone to her grave bent over. But on that day, she went to the house of God. It didn't matter what was going on in her life. It didn't matter what was happening in her body. It didn't matter what was wrong in her emotions. There was one thing this woman was not going to stop doing, and that was going to the house of God to worship her Maker. And on that day, that moment, Jesus walked into that synagogue and began to speak to those people. And she was there because nothing was going to deter her from going to the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not saying you can't miss church for a vacation. I'm not saying work gets in the way sometimes. I'm not saying when you're sick you should stay home. I'm just saying stop letting everything keep you from serving God. Hallelujah. And I close. How many blessings do people give up when they give up on God? Because they don't understand everything. Because they don't like everything. Because they don't get everything. How many spiritual blessings do we miss out on? How many physical blessings might we miss out on? We benefit by regularly attending. And I'm not saying we all have to miss church from time to time for one reason or another. But there's a reason Jesus instituted the gathering of ourselves together. Wherever two or three of you gather together in my name, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. And this isn't just about church attendance. This is about gathering together with the rest of the saints who are out in this world praying. It's gathering together with them in a prayer meeting of your own. It's about gathering together with the world of Christians that are around us, that are opening their Bibles every day and letting that Bible feed their spirits, and us doing the same thing with them in unity. We benefit by regularly being involved with God, hearing God's word, worshiping Him in spirit and truth. And this woman knew that the best help she could give her body, the best help, listen carefully, that she could give to her body was to feed her spirit. Evidently, she knew what Job knew. After Job went through all of his sufferings, he said, yeah, but these skin worms may destroy my flesh, but in my flesh, I'm going to see God. She evidently understood that mindset. She understood, evidently, the words of Jesus Himself, who told us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, to seek first, what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek that first. I shudder to think the numbers of people that come to the kingdom of God because they're seeking this and they're hoping maybe that's the avenue to get it. They're really seeking that. And when God doesn't come through fast enough, they're off on the next thing to see who's going to give them that. seek first the kingdom. Not the fulfillment of your needs, your desires, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things get added to you. Are you bent over and you can't raise yourself up? Then in your bent over condition, open up the word and find Jesus. Let's stand together.
Thank you for listening to the Maranatha Ministries podcast. If this message touched you, please make sure to subscribe for more sermons from Pastor Frank and the ministry team here at Maranatha, as well as follow us on our social media platforms. We are located in Schenectady, New York, and if you are in the area, we invite you to join us during our weekly Sunday service starting at 10:30 a.m. We look forward to you joining us again next week for another anointed message. Thank you, and God bless.